And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you." For those of us that have submitted to the authority of Jesus Christ, recognizing that He has all authority, we recognize we have a responsibility given by our Lord to go and to teach and to share what we have gained by becoming Christians, and to talk to people about the authority that Christ has, and to teach them and show them what the Lord has done for them. And so for the past several weeks, we've been attempting to encourage ourselves and to equip ourselves to be able to go out and to make disciples. And so we've talked about a number of things. For the last several weeks, one of the things we've been doing is kind of using some hypothetical situations or hypothetical studies to maybe better equip ourselves for talking to people. Because the most effective way to go and make disciples is for you to talk to the people you know and to study the Scriptures with the people you know. And so we've been kind of going through and we've been imagining what it would be like to study the Bible with someone, and actually picked out four imaginary individuals that are from different backgrounds, with different spiritual needs, and how an individual study with them might go. And they're different in all situations. And one of the things we've already noticed, and if you've studied with many people, you realize this, these type of studies don't always go the way you would hope that they would go. As a matter of fact, in our hypothetical examples here, we've already seen that two of these individuals either didn't have the interest or weren't willing to submit to what the Scripture said. And those studies didn't go the way we hoped they would go. What I want us to do today is I want us to continue and to look at how our studies with Will and with Fred might go. And you remember that with Will, for those of you who are visiting with us, just a real brief overview of kind of what we have in mind here as we're looking at this. Will's an individual we work with, friendly guy. He agreed to study with us every Tuesday on our lunch break. And so for our first study with Will, one of the things we learned, besides just learning generally about his religious background, is we learned that while he believed in God, he did not believe that the Scripture was necessarily the inspired Word of God. And so we learned that it was going to be difficult for us to have a Bible study with him, because when we point to something in the Bible, he's thinking, yeah, that may or may not be true. And so the very first thing that we studied with him in our second study was, let's look at some evidences of why we believe that this book is indeed God's message revealed to us. We can have confidence in it. We can say, this is what God is telling you. This is what our Creator is telling me. We can have confidence in that and look at that. So after that, we begin to go through and just tell the story of the Bible, because Will's not very familiar with it. And so we started off, and we just start in Genesis, and we go through, and we just talk about the plan that God is unfolding through the Scriptures. Who God is, who man is, what man's problem is, why God is interested in man, what God wants for man. And we go through, and by the time we get through the Old Testament, Will is very, very interested in the Scripture. For the first time, he understands a little bit about what the Bible's talking about. And the Bible study has gone from being every Tuesday during lunch break to just about every day. Every lunch break, Will sits down and says, you know, I was reading, and I've got a question about this. And he's even called you at home a couple of times and said, hey, I was just reading through my Bible. What is this talking about here? You can tell his interest level is very great. Now, by the time you get through the Old Testament, you have really looked at the Bible story and how God has emphasized the problem of sin. Sin is a major, major problem. And you cannot read the Old Testament without understanding that. And so you've emphasized that. Now as you begin the New Testament, you begin to look at what the New Testament says, and also by the time you get to the Old Testament, you're excited to see what's coming in the New Testament. You're waiting for it. Old Testament's been prophesying, something's coming. Get to the New Testament, we see what that is. And so we begin to study the New Testament, and we begin to show, or you begin to show, Will, how all of the prophecies about the Messiah that we saw in the Old Testament, remember Genesis 3:15, a descendant of woman will enter a conflict with Satan and he'll be victorious. Genesis 12, it'll be through Abraham. Genesis 26, through Isaac. Genesis 28, through Jacob. Genesis 49, through Judah. How his hands and his feet will be pierced. Psalm 22. Isaiah 53, he'll be bruised for our iniquities. Psalm 16, he'll be raised from the dead. All of those prophecies that we've been looking at through the Old Testament and showing will through the Old Testament, we get to the New Testament, we start seeing, all right, here's this individual Jesus. He was a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He was a descendant of Judah. He was a descendant of David. And here's what happened to him. And we go through and we show how all of those prophecies and promises that God had made were fulfilled in Jesus. And you show him how not only did Jesus come here to be an example to show us how to live our life. In other words, God said, all right, I've told you how to live your life. You didn't seem to get it very well. So now I'm going to send someone and show you how to live your life. Jesus became our example, but he was much more than that. He was the sacrifice. That problem of sin, we committed sin, we rebelled against God. We can't undo the sin that we've committed. So Jesus came to be the sacrifice for our sin, so that we could once again have that fellowship with God that He created us to have. Jesus came and overcame what we could not, sin and death. And so we emphasize the sacrifice. We emphasize how He is our Savior. Because He overcame sin and death, then He offers us the possibility to overcome sin and death. And that's what He offers to us, the victory over these things. So if we're willing to follow Him, we can share in that victory. And that's the gospel message. That's the good news. And so then as we continue on in the story of the New Testament, that good news is taught and spread. The apostles are to go out and teach this good news of what Jesus did, how man can be saved. Whole Old Testament is just, hey, man's messed up and there's condemnation. Sin keeps man from being able to do what he's supposed to be able to do. How in the world can we be saved from this? New Testament, Jesus is how we can be saved from this. If we will follow Him, if we will obey Him, He will give us the victory over sin and death. That's the good news. Go and spread it. Share it. Now, when you're talking with Will and you get to this point, it would probably be good to slow down in the book of Acts and say, let's just take some time to look at how people responded to this message about Jesus being the Savior. And so, take some time and look at some of those conversion accounts. For instance, Acts chapter 2. Go ahead and turn over there. Acts chapter 2. Peter and the apostles begin to teach this good news. And so they're talking to these Jews. And you look, maybe just, you know, summarize the story here. You go to verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Maybe you'll spend a little bit more time looking at the evidence that Peter gives for that as you go through here. But then drop down to the conclusion. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And notice how the people respond to that. When they've seen the evidence, they understand that Jesus is the Messiah. They heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So Peter answers, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And then look at verse 41. Then those who gladly received His word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. So here we see people that hear this message and recognize and are convicted of their sin. They see that and they say, what can we do? Well, you need to change. You need to repent. You need to stop committing those sins that are contrary to God's will. You need to be submissive and obedient to the Christ. You need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. On this day, 3,000 respond to that. And then what did they do? Look at verse 41. Or verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. This is what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. This is what it means to be a Christian. You continue in the teaching of Christ that the apostles had given. And so you look at that story and you show Will that story. And maybe you look at some others, maybe like Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, you have a man from Ethiopia, a eunuch. And Philip goes, and as Philip approaches his chariot, this man is reading from the prophet Isaiah, and he's reading from the prophecy in Isaiah 53, which, by the way, if you've told the Bible story to Will knows that prophecy because you talked about it. That's where, you know, he was taken as a lamb before, and he was bruised for our iniquities and our transgressions. You talked about that. So here he's reading from this. This Ethiopian eunuch is reading from this. Philip approaches, and Philip asks him, do you understand what you're reading in verse 30 of Acts chapter 8? And he says, how can I unless someone guides me? And so he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he was reading was, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb silent before its shearers, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation, for his life was taken from the earth? And the eunuch asked Philip, saying, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and beginning at that scripture, preached Jesus to him. Here's an individual Bible study that Philip is having with the Ethiopian eunuch. And now as they're talking about Jesus, they're talking about God's plan for salvation. As they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And then Philip said, if you believe with all of your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So they commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. To your surprise, as you're telling this story, and you get to this point, Will interrupts you. And he says, what would hinder me from being baptized? You're a little surprised by this. You didn't really know this was coming at this point. You knew that Will was definitely gaining a lot more interest in the Scripture, but you didn't expect him just to come out and ask at this particular point. And so you kind of have to stop and you have to think about this just for a second. Well, here's what's running through your mind. I wonder if Will is really ready for this. If he's at the point in his spiritual understanding to really know what's going on here. And so you may want to ask him some questions. Well, now Will, when we started off this study, you said you weren't sure that the Bible was really from God. Are you confident that we can trust what we're reading here? And Will says, you know, when we started off this study, I wasn't sure. But as we've gone through it, I've become convinced that this really is God's message to us. You're glad to hear that. Big progress has been made just in that. And maybe there are some other things that you would want to talk to Will about, and you would want to talk to Will about. Well, are you confident that Jesus is the Christ? And Will says, yes, I am. I see the prophecies through God's Word, and I see that Jesus met those prophecies. I'm confident that Jesus is the Christ. Well, Will, are you willing to make Him Lord of your life? Are you willing to follow Him and submit to Him? It's one thing to say, yeah, I believe that Jesus was an actual historical character, and I believe He was really the Son of God. It's another thing to say, I'm going to submit to Him. Are you willing to do that? And Will says, yes, I am. I am willing to do that. And you may even point out here, in Acts chapter 8, when the Ethiopian eunuch said, what would hinder me? Philip responded, "If you believe with all of your heart," talking about Jesus being the Christ, "you may." Well, Will's just said he believes with all of his heart, that he's confident of that. But you're going to want to make sure he understands the scope of what's taking place here. And so you're going to want to turn to some passages. You remember how Jesus, very often someone said, "I'll follow you." And Jesus said, "All right, now you need to count the cost. You need to think about what's going to be involved here. You need to do that with Will." And say, so let's look at some passages. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Paul says here, he writes and he says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What Paul is saying here is that when a person wants to follow Christ, there's a huge change that takes place in their life. It's monumental. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, it's like being born again. You look the same, but you're a whole different person because your whole reason for living has changed. Before, you lived for yourself, for your purposes, your goals. When you become a Christian, you live for Christ. That's what it means for Him to be Lord of your life. You give yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And you don't allow the world to dictate who you're going to be or what you're going to be like. You're not conformed to the world, but you change your thinking from the way the world thinks to understand what God's will is and to practice God's will. That's a huge change. Even for a good moral person, that is a huge change. Will, do you understand what a monumental thing it is that you're considering right now? And Will says, "I think I do. And I think I'm ready for that type of big change. I'm willing to do that." Turn over to Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. When Paul wrote about baptism, he's still writing about what a big change takes place. He says in verse 3, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." Will, when you're baptized, what happens is that old man, that will that said, "I'm going to live life the way that I want to live it, the way that I think is best to live it," is being put to death and buried, just as Christ was put to death and buried. And your sins are being washed away. That old man is being washed away. And when you are raised up out of the waters of baptism, you are raised up to walk newness of life. That's just another way of saying to be born again. A brand new individual. Different than you were before. Totally different. Totally different life. You used to be a slave to sin, but you're not a slave to sin anymore. You've died to that life. And now you are a slave, but not to sin anymore. Now you are a slave to righteousness, to God, to serve Him. You may want to drop down in the text here and look down to verse 12. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." That's the change that's taking place. "Will, are you sure you want to do that?" And Will says, I've never been so sure of anything in my whole life. That's what I want to do." What do you do at that moment? What does the Scripture say to do? What did Jesus say? Go and make disciples of all nations. Will's gotten to that point. He said, I want to follow Jesus. I want to be His disciple. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, baptize them. Do what the Scripture says. Baptize them according to the Lord's instruction. He's ready. Please, when someone gets to this point, let's say this is Tuesday at lunch at your Tuesday Bible study there in your lunch break. Please don't say, well, Will, I'm really glad you want to do that. Why don't you come to church with me Sunday, and when the invitation's given, you can come forward and you can be baptized. Don't do that. It is really encouraging when someone's baptized in an assembly like this. That's wonderful because we all get to see it and we're encouraged by that. But you know what? The Ethiopian eunuch, Philip, didn't say, well, I'll tell you what. What's hindering you from being baptized right now is it's not a Sunday morning service. So you got to wait till Sunday morning and then we'll baptize you. He baptized them as soon as they found water. And what you need to say to Will is, well, if that's the case, then we need to follow the Lord's instruction. And you can baptize them. Or you can call me and I'll be glad. You can come up here to the building, use the baptistry at the building. Or you can go to the swimming pool, or you can go down to the creek. Immerse him for the remission of his sins the way the Lord's instructed. And do that. Do that. And when Will comes up out of the water, you know that you've played a part in a soul being saved. You've gained a brother, gained a fellow soldier in the Lord's army in God's kingdom. That's what we're to do. Alright. Let's see how our study goes with Fred. Now, Fred's situation is different from Will's. We've known Fred for a long, long time. Matter of fact, he's been your best friend. He's active in a denominational church. And for that reason, religion has never been a topic y'all have discussed much because you know you have differences of view on it, differences in understanding, and so y'all just never talked about it much. But finally you said, Fred, we need to sit down and study the Scripture together. He and his wife Sally agreed, so they've been coming over to the house on Fridays and y'all have been studying the Scripture together. And in your first study, what you really tried to do is you wanted to talk to Fred about what the Bible says about unity. And the Bible says that believers in Christ need to be united. God has a will, and they need to be united on that will. And so, Fred, the reason we need to study together is because you're a believer in Jesus, I'm a believer in Jesus, and yet we teach different things. We go to churches that practice different things. That's not right. Let's sit down and look at God's Word, determine what God's will is, and both be united on that will. In your second study, you talked about Christ's church. What's revealed in the Scripture about Christ's church? And Fred noticed some things. He noticed some things about the denomination that he attends that he realized, well, that's different than what we read about in the Bible. In your next study, you talked to him about what the plan of salvation is, because that's another thing that you didn't agree with Will on. His church taught one thing about how one is saved. The Bible taught something different. And so you went through and you showed what the Bible taught. Fred didn't say a whole lot at the end of that study. You could tell he was thinking about it. And so you wrote down the passages. And you said, take these home. You and Sally study these. Look at these. And you see if what I'm saying is really what the Bible teaches. And if it's not, then I want you to practice what the Bible teaches. Because that's what we need to do. And you come back and you talk to me about it. And show me. So, Fred and Sally come back over to the house. Had a week now. They come in, and so you just ask, did you have a chance to look over those passages that we talked about? About what God says about salvation, and particularly you talked a lot about baptism, because that was one issue that y'all didn't agree on. And Fred says, yes, spent a lot of time thinking about it this past week. As a matter of fact, Sally and I have nearly every evening sat down and talked about this and prayed about this and studied about this, and we went and talked to our pastor about those passages and looked at them. And it's been troublesome to us all week long. So we've given it a lot of thought. And despite the explanations that the pastor gave and despite maybe some of our previous beliefs on it, the Bible does seem to be teaching what you said. And baptism, the Bible clearly says, is for the remission of sins. And that's not what we've been teaching and following. And then Fred looks you right in the eye. And he says, "When I was 9 years old, I went forward to get saved, to be saved. Sometime later that month or year, I was baptized. I was not baptized for the remission of sins. I'm pretty sure of that. I was baptized to make a public profession that I was a follower of Christ and baptized to become a member or to join the church. And Sally, her baptism is very similar. And I want to know, do you think that we need to be baptized again?" How are you going to answer that? Let me give you a suggestion how to answer that. Fred, it doesn't matter what I think. What my opinion of that is really doesn't matter at all. But it really does matter what the Bible teaches about that. And so it doesn't matter what I think, but it sure matters what the Bible teaches about that. And so I want you to think about a few things. First of all, what does the Bible teach about that? What do you understand the Bible teaches about baptism? What reason did the apostles command people to be baptized? Were you baptized for the same reason that the apostles taught people to be baptized? And you have to let the Bible answer that question. And maybe if you feel like further explanations, maybe you could say this. You know, baptism, the word baptism means to be put underwater, to be dunked underwater. And it wasn't a religious word. When it was used in the Scripture, it wasn't necessarily a religious word. And people are dunked underwater for a lot of different reasons. You've probably been dunked underwater a lot of times. Maybe you and your best friend were horse playing in the pool and he dunked you underwater. Maybe you were filthy and you got in a bathtub or in a creek and you washed off and you washed off the filth of the flesh by being put underwater. But what was the reason that people were put underwater in the Scripture? Because the reason makes the difference. It's not enough just to be put underwater, it's to be put underwater for the reason that the apostles stated. Have you been put underwater for the reason the apostles stated? He looks at you and he says, "Well, the conclusion that Sally and I have come to is that we were not baptized for the reason that the Bible teaches. And we'd already kind of decided that we feel like we need to be baptized for that reason. Well, what do you do?" Well, what I would do is I'd go over the same passages that I went over with Will. And say, let's just be clear what we understand what the Bible's teaching about baptism. Let's look at that again and talk about that. And then he understood that and he said, "Yep, that's what I need to do because I haven't done that." Then I would take him and I would baptize him. Same hour of the night for the remission of sins. Jesus came and spoke to them and said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you." Go and make disciples. That's our responsibility. That is our task. The Bible shows us the most effective way to do that is for us to go and talk and teach the people that we know. We need to be doing that. There's no excuse for not doing that. We have to be active in that. That's what the Lord instructed us to do. We need to be bringing them to the point where not only they believe that Jesus is the Christ and they understand what Jesus has done, but when they are willing to follow Him and be disciples of His, that we baptize them by the authority of God for the remission of their sins into Christ. But I want you to notice something else, and we need to point this out before we wrap up this series. That's not where it ends. That's wonderful that Will and Fred and Sally have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and they have been baptized for the remission of their sins. But you notice that Jesus goes on to say, you teach them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. You're going to need to continue those studies with them. Don't say, oh boy, that's fantastic. Well, we won't need to meet next Friday night because now you've obeyed the gospel. Tom Troll, my co-worker that taught me the truth and baptized me. After I was baptized for the next year, we had studies every Tuesday night at his house. And it was in those studies that I really began to understand what it meant to live as a Christian. That was kind of where I got my grounding in the Scripture of what it meant to be a disciple of the Lord. Those studies are crucial. They are critical. And so Jesus didn't leave that out. You teach them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. Let me give you some possibilities. So you are so happy that Will's obeyed the gospel and he's still dripping wet and you're wet and you hug him and you say, I'm so glad to have you as a brother in Christ. Will you come to services with me Sunday? And Will says, I'm not really into the church thing. I don't really like people all that much. Now see, you may, from where you're at in your knowledge of the Scripture, you may assume that of course he's a Christian now. Of course Will's going to be there Sunday at church. Will's never thought about it before. And I'll just tell you from personal experience, Will may come, you may show him in the Scripture, well, you know, the Lord really instructs, this is what Christians did. You remember back in Acts 2, they continued to assemble together in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and prayers and breaking of bread. That's what Christians do. And so Will goes, well, that'll be different for me. But I said I was going to be different. I'll do that. And so he comes Sunday. And through the singing, he says so like this. He just kind of looks around. Never opens his mouth one bit. Now, you may assume, well, once a person becomes a Christian, they'll know that they're to sing and to teach and admonish one another and praise God in song. Will doesn't know that. In these studies that you have with him afterwards, Tom Troll had to talk to me. Lonnie, I notice you don't sing. Yeah, I don't like to sing. I'm not good at singing. And he had to say, well, Lonnie, really, God didn't say you had to be good at it or you had to like it. What God said is to do it. And I was like, well, that was brand new to me. I had to learn to sing. Never thought of it before. With Fred. Fred asked you. He said, can Sally and I attend with you Sunday? Yeah, that'd be fantastic. So they come and they sit with you. And through the whole service, you can see, boy, their eyebrows are raised up. They're just surprised by everything that takes place. They've never attended with you before. I mean, as soon as the amen is over and you get out the door, they're quizzing you. What was that about? Why did y'all not have instrumental music? I mean, I knew that y'all didn't, but that sounded so strange to me. I've never been anywhere where it is. Now, explain to me again why y'all don't do that. And I didn't understand. Why did y'all have the Lord's Supper this Sunday? I mean, we took it quarterly or whatever, but y'all take it every Sunday? Why do you do that? I'm not sure I understand why y'all do that. And why did y'all not have a choir? Or why did y'all not have soloists singing? And why did you not have a family life center? All kinds of questions. Guess where those questions are going to be answered? In those individual studies. You and Sally, I would love for y'all just to keep coming over to the house. We'll talk about some of those things. We'll look at what the Scripture says. That's going to be needed. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Pray that. Pray that. Pray that God will send His followers out to teach those who are lost. And then you be one of those people that you're praying for. you go out and you teach those that you know that need the gospel. You share that with them. Let us get busy doing what the Lord has instructed us to do. Most of you here are spiritually mature enough to go and teach what you know. And if you're not, then you need to get working on that right away. Don't let any more time pass. If you need help, you feel like you need help, then set up a study. And there are plenty of brethren here that will help you with that. They'll come and they'll study with you. They'll help you through that. But we need to get busy doing this. Let me mention something else. If you are here today and you'd like somebody to study with you, don't hesitate to say, "Hey, I would really like somebody to study with me." We can find somebody that's willing to do that. There are a lot of us here that are willing to do that. You just let it be made known. You ask for it. We'll make sure that that happens. Let us be sure that we're going out to share this good news that we have found, and that we're making sure that we're living according to its message. Did you hear that last part? I don't want you to miss that last part because you're getting out your songbooks. I don't mind if you get out your songbooks, but just hear what I said. We need to make sure that we are living according to that message. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 5, "Remove the plank first from your own eye, then you can see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." First remove the plank from your own eye. If you need to make correction in your life for something, do that first. Do that even right now. You have not been baptized for the remission of your sins. Baptistry is right there. We just talked about the passages. If you need to do that right now. Do that first. If there's something else in your life you need to make correction for, do that first. Take care of that. Then you can do what the Lord asked you to do in sharing that with others and teaching others and being what you should be. Let us be busy with the Lord's Word. If we can help you in any spiritual way, would you come while we stand and while we sing?